You're going to travel any place overseas, you need one of these, passport. Do you guys have your passports with you today? You know, I got mine because you might need to leave the country at any moment, so you got to have these ready. Anyway, a passport is, you know, it has a picture of me in here. It isn't a very good picture, but it says I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And that allows me, when I travel overseas, you know, you go to a passport booth and you hand it to them and they let you in the country. Theoretically, they let you, usually they let you in. And when you come back to the United States, they'll let you back in the United States. It's pretty valuable, passport, showing your citizenship. Paul, when he's writing to the Philippian Christians, in the passage we're going to look at today, calls them citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. So more important than this passport is our citizenship in heaven. And he has some word for us about what it means to be citizens of heaven. So Philippians chapter 3, start at verse 15. Would you stand as we read God's word today? It says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already obtained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray today, Father, that you'll speak to us. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven should grow in their faith. What Paul's been talking about in the letter, right before this, he was talking all about spiritual growth, how that he hadn't arrived yet. He still wants to know Christ. He wants to grow and develop his faith, his relationship with Christ. That is a challenge here. And here he says, all of you who are mature should take such a view of things. That's another challenge to grow. All who are mature in their faith will be challenged to never stop growing spiritually. Like the runner that he used an example, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. You press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's a challenge to not be stagnant in our faith. It's a challenge for our faith to be an up-to-date current event, not just something you did in history. But it's today, a current event, a living relationship with Christ. As citizens of heaven, we grow in our spiritual understanding. Paul says the phrase in take such a view of things refers to a spiritual mindset, or you could call it a Christian worldview that Paul has. And he wants them to have that same viewpoint too, this spiritual understanding. It comes from knowing Christ. The more you know Christ, the more you're going to have spiritual understanding, the better you know him. Now, none of us are saved by our own effort. We know we're saved through believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior. But it does take some effort to grow in spiritual understanding. You got to put some time in. Spend time with Jesus. We also grow through listening to God. Paul says, if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. You see, Paul realizes he can't change anybody's hearts or minds. As a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, he can't change anybody. Only God can. So he says, if you don't get it, God's going to make it clear to you. And he does that as we listen to him. How do we listen to him? Well, by reading his word, by prayer, worship, we listen. I don't know about you, but listening is hard work. It's hard work. I experienced it this week. I was doing my devotions one morning a couple days ago, reading the Bible, and I read a couple chapters, and I stopped and thought, I don't have a clue what I just read. I don't remember anything. I remember I read words, but I really wasn't listening, so I had to start over, because I wasn't listening. It takes a little bit of effort to listen, to really listen, to let God speak to you, and when he does that, he can help us and change us. We also grow through obedience to what we know. Paul says, only live up to what you've already attained. That word live up is a military term, which means kind of like soldiers who mark in step, you know, in cadence with each other. They stay in their formation to stay in line. Live up to it. So keep in step with that marching formation. Live up to what you've already obtained. Using Paul's racing analogy that he uses in this letter, for a runner, it means stay in your lane. You know, you're running a race. Here's how you're supposed to live. Here's where you're supposed to go. Stay in that lane. Obey what you know. It's not just about listening. It's about obedience. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So most of us, if you've been around the church for a while, have so much knowledge. You know, the reality is you probably don't need another sermon. But you're here, so we'll go on. But I mean, you have so much knowledge. Spiritual growth comes from our knowledge level and our obedience level coming together. We need to obey what God tells us to do. We also grow through following good examples. Paul is confident enough to say, follow my example. Now, that's pretty bold, isn't it? Except Paul's already made it clear in this letter that he's not perfect. He's not arrived. He doesn't got it all figured out. He's still learning. He's still growing. The reason he can say, follow my example, is because he's following Jesus. Not perfect, but he's following Jesus. Follow my example. Christ is our greatest example to follow, of course. And we benefit from other examples. Mark Twain said one time, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. And I would just say, I think we need to be annoyed more with good examples. They help us. I've been really thankful in my life. I've had some good examples who have helped me in my Christian walk to know what it's like to be a Christian when things are not easy, when things are tough, when things don't go the way you expect them to go. And how about what it means to be a Christian when life is just kind of routine and boring sometimes? I've learned from others on what it means to stay faithful and keep serving Christ during those times. Good examples help us. Well, citizens in heaven also should be aware of enemies of the cross. Paul says he's aware that many live as enemies of the cross. And you know what that did to Paul? He cried. He said, it brings me to tears to think of people who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. These people are opposite of the citizens of heaven. They're not citizens of heaven. They're pretenders. They're fakes. They might look good on outwardly, but inwardly they're not really believing in God. 1 Corinthians 1 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Power of God. You see, the message of the cross is the gospel. That God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. And that one and only Son died on a cross for our sins. So that when we place our faith in Jesus, we will not perish, but will have eternal life. That's the gospel. The cross is the great dividing point of all humanity. All of us must come to the cross of Christ. If you come to the cross of Christ and receive this gift of salvation that Christ purchased for us on the cross, then we leave that place and go to eternal life. If you refuse it, you go to eternal death. The cross is the dividing place. Those who reject this gospel, Paul says, are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. It could be that Paul is using the example of the people that are called Judaizers. We've seen them before in this letter. These were Jewish people that said, in order to be a Christian, you needed to accept Christ as your Savior, but also do all the laws of Moses. And Paul is pretty upset with them. So much that he calls them enemies of the cross. Because they were saying by that, the cross of Christ was not enough. Not enough. You need something else. And Paul says, no. You're actually enemies of the cross. Enemies of the cross are destined for destruction, Paul says. That's pretty blunt language. Because they did not accept Christ's sacrifice on their behalf, they could not be saved. And you become enemies of the cross of Christ, and your destination is destruction. Now, they thought they were on the right path. You know, you ever done that on a detour? You know, we had a detour in Dooley just a few weeks ago, and the signs weren't real clear, and I knew there was a construction, but I had repeatedly turned down that road and drove halfway down here until I realized that if I keep going, it's going to be destruction because there was a big hole in the street. You know, these guys thought they were going the right way, but they were wrong. Paul says it leads to destruction, that way that you're teaching. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is our only way for us to be saved. There's no other way. Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Enemies of the cross are also driven by sensual appetites. Paul says their God is their stomach. That's not very kind either. They're driven by their desires and their appetites and what they want. And the problem is, when you're driven by those sensual appetites, it can actually take the place of God in your life. It can be like a God to you. There's people who, you know, food is actually kind of a God to them. Sex is a God to some people. Money is a God to some people. Whatever it is that you constantly think about, what is it you think about all the time? Just kind of do a little mental inventory in your mind. You know, if you become fixated on something other than God, it could very easily turn into being a false God for you. Enemies of the cross are proud of shameful things. He says their glory is their shame. What they should be ashamed of, what they should repent of and be forgiven, they celebrate. And we see that happening in our world, don't we? There's parades all over America in a certain month of the year where they celebrate sin in a big show. Enemies of the cross are proud of shameful things. Enemies of the cross are dedicated to material things. They've rejected salvation in the name of Jesus, so they throw their life into material stuff, finding their purpose there and not realizing that it doesn't last. Now, I heard a story of a place in Finland, Kemi, Finland, where every year they build this amazing ice castle, completely out of ice. And it's so beautiful that they rent it out for weddings and concerts and stuff. But you know what the problem with the ice castle is? In April, it melts. They spend lots of money building this thing, and it just melts. And that's the way with every material possession we have. You can't take it with you. It's going to melt away. Doesn't pay to be dedicated to material things. Well, in contrast to these enemies of the cross, citizens of heaven should live to honor Christ. Now, the Christians in Philippi would understand this whole thing of citizenship because Philippi was a Roman colony, which means if you were born in Philippi, you're a Roman citizen because you're born there. Just like I am an American citizen because I was born in America. Now, in Philippi, if you're a Roman citizen because you were born there, you use the Roman language, you dress like a Roman, you talk like a Roman, you ate like a Roman. You're a Roman in every way, even though you're 800 miles away from Rome. So they would understand this concept of citizenship. And Paul says you are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven trust in Jesus as Savior. He says we eagerly await a Savior from there. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to come back someday. And they're eagerly awaiting this Savior. Now, he's already saved us from our sins through when we place our faith in Christ. But he's coming again someday to save us from all the consequences of sin. The final, complete, perfect salvation. Jesus is our Savior. Titus says he saved us through the washing or rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So citizens of heaven have a Savior. That's what makes us citizens of heaven, because we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. So we're on this earth right now. Someday he's going to take us home to be with him. He's preparing a place for us. But for right now, we're here. But right now, we're still citizens of heaven. When we go up there, we'll be citizens of heaven because we have a Savior. Citizens of heaven are destined for eternal life. Remember, the enemies of the cross were destined for destruction. We're destined for eternal life. Eternal life comes through a relationship with God that we can have through Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples when they were so excited when they came back after doing great things, he said, "Do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven." Citizenship in heaven. Your name's written down. Someday, we'll all, you know, whether Christ comes, gets us before then, or we die and go to be with the Lord, we'll be right there at that entrance of heaven, whatever that is going to be like. And you won't need a passport like this one that I have to get in. He won't ask for your United States passport. You know what your passport to get into heaven is going to be? Jesus. Jesus is your passport. You know Jesus, you're in. You don't know Jesus, you're not in. He's the passport. He's the only passport to heaven. He's made this amazing place for us where we'll live with him forever. Citizens of heaven desire to do God's will. In contrast to those who are enemies of the cross, whose God is their stomach, we are not going to be driven by our own appetites and our own desires, but we desire to do the will of God. Like Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that means, "May your will be done in my life as it is in heaven." Citizens of heaven obey the laws of God because they're citizens of heaven, not because we have to, we want to honor God and do what he tells us to do. Citizens of heaven give all the glory to God. Remember, the earth enemies of the cross gloried in their shame. Instead, we glory in Christ. We don't glory in who we are and what we've done. We glory in who Christ is and what he's done for us. Our focus is not on us. Our focus is on Christ. We don't concerned about what happens to us. We're concerned about glorifying God. We bring glory to God. Citizens of heaven have a heavenly mindset. Remember, the other ones have an earthly mindset, the enemies of the cross. But here we are to have a heavenly mindset. Colossians 3 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." So this is your perspective, your motivation, why you do the things you do. We remember that we are citizens of heaven, and we should behave as citizens of heaven. Malcolm Muggeridge said this. He said, "The only ultimate disaster that can befall us, I've come to realize, is to feel ourselves to be at home here on earth. As long as we are aliens, we cannot forget our true homeland, which is that other kingdom Christ proclaimed." I like that. We have a heavenly mindset because that's our home. You know, we're just here for a little bit of time, right? A little bit of time. We'll be in heaven for all of eternity. You could say we're kind of at the airport with our passports waiting to go home. Life on this earth is kind of like waiting at an airport to go home, to be with the Lord. It's temporary. So we have a heavenly mindset. Citizens of heaven represent God on earth. Represent God on earth. We are God's representatives on earth. That's why he hasn't taken us home yet. We're representing him. He's not going to send someone from heaven down to represent him right now. We're his representatives. It's up to us. 2 Corinthians says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us," and he's doing that through us. We're here on a purpose to represent God. Citizens of heaven, trust in the great power of Christ. Paul says, talks about the power that Christ has that enables him to bring everything under his control. That's pretty amazing power. In other words, Christ has no rival. There's no power to Christ's power. You know, we talk about superpowers in the world and what country is a superpower. There's only one superpower in the world, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the superpower. And citizens of heaven, we have access to that power. If we surrender to him and trust in him, he'll let us use his power because we're using it for his glory and his honor. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus said, nothing's impossible with God. We have this amazing power that's available to us as citizens of heaven to serve him. Citizens of heaven also expect future transformation. He says we will be transformed in our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious body. You see, God is transforming us right now spiritually. We're being made more and more into the likeness of Christ. Won't be completed until we see him face to face, and then we'll be completely changed. 1 Corinthians 15, just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. We'll be like him. That'll be perfected then. But also, there'll be a change in our actual bodies. We're going to have a new, glorious, heavenly body. Anybody looking forward to that? If you got any pains or problems or challenges, you're probably looking forward to that, right? The older we get, the more we look forward to that. Think about this for a moment. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, was on earth in his glorified body. Think about what he did. He talked to the disciples. The disciples recognized him. We'll recognize each other. He talked to them. He ate with them. He walked with them. He did amazing things with this glorified body. He didn't have to use doors to come into rooms. He just showed up, you know, like Star Trek, beam me up. I mean, he just showed up in places. We're going to have a glorious body like his, perfectly free from sin and disease and sickness and death. In a body that will be perfectly suited to live with God forever in heaven. And our spirit will be perfectly suited and perfected to live in heaven as well with him. We have a lot to look forward to. C.S. Lewis, the writer, says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. We're made for another world. We're citizens of heaven. So you could say we are kind of like dual citizens. You know, we're citizens here, right? And we're citizens of heaven. But our citizenship here is really short compared to citizenship in heaven. And what should really control us and motivate us is our citizenship in heaven. That's what motivates us. We're here on a purpose to serve the Lord and to honor him as citizens of heaven. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song together as we close our service. And time where you can come and pray if you need to pray about something today. It's always a good time to pray, to thank the Lord, to call on the Lord, to give him your needs and concerns. The song we're going to sing is called Nearer, My God, to Thee. And I like that song because I think that should be our prayer. Lord, I just want to get nearer, nearer to you. I want to get closer to you. Wherever you are, you can get closer. However much you know God, you can know him more. Let's stand together. Make this your prayer. And if you need to pray, come and we'll pray together this morning.